Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Mem Beis. We begin the brand new fourth perek, Nara Shenis Patitsa, and we're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Joyce Katz, Yehudis Bas Rav Chaim. Well, the Shalom, we learned for Shavar Leah from Alvin. So the new perek begins on the bottom of Mem Aleph Omud Beis, and let us begin the new Mishnah. Nara Shenis Patitsa. If you have a young lady, a Nara, who was unfortunately seduced and had relations with a man, so there's, as we've spoken out previously, there's certain penalties that have to be paid to the father of the young lady. So the boshesa ufigama uknasa, the boshes and pagam that she suffers, which we discussed in the previous parak, as well as the knas, the 50 shkalim, all go to the father. The person who was mafata to her has to pay certain damages and penalties to the young lady's father. So the boshes and pagam, which we discussed in the previous parak, are compensation for the embarrassment that she had, the boshes and the begam, the degradation of value, and then the knas, the 50 shkolim that the Torah prescribes in this situation, all of this goes to the father. In addition, if somebody was ma'anes a woman, v'hatzar b'tfusa, tfusa is the lashon that we have from the pasuk, kimotzi ish nara b'sula, and he goes and attacks her, and he uses the lashon utifasa, so this ma'anes is also called the lashon of tafus. So that's why the Mishnah here uses the lashon of tfusa for a woman who was an anusa. So there's an addition here, a tsar penalty, because she was an unwilling participant. So as opposed to, we learned in the previous parak, by a woman who was a willing participant, there is no tsar penalty. Here there is a tsar penalty. A penalty really here is a compensation for the pain that she suffered. I use the term penalty not as a knas, but as mamona. So this is an additional compensation that the woman who's an anusa is entitled to. And again, this goes to her father as well. Atzar b'tfusa. So this is a quick review. I just wanted to ask, what's it telling us? We already had this in the third parak, so the Gemara will explain what the chiddush is over here in our Mishnah. Now, omdo badin. If she had a psak din, that the penalties and the compensation was in fact owed to her. Now, if she had the din finalized, ad shelo meisav, but her father then subsequently dies after the din Torah has been finalized. So the Beis Din paskin that these compensations and fines, penalties, belong to the father. And since he is alive at this time, omdo b'din ad shelo meisav, the father is still alive at this time, so then certainly harein shalav. The part of the chiddush of the Mishnah is that these compensations and the penalty, the 50 shkalim, belongs to the father. And the chiddush is, meisav, if the father, in fact, died after the psak din, he didn't collect the money, but he had died only after the psak din was done, so then it's as if he already has gotten the money, and therefore, harei hein shel achid, then the children of the father, the ones who inherit the father, the sons of the father, inherit the father, and in that setting, the daughter is not entitled to any Yerusha formally from the Torah, and therefore, in this situation, the father is considered the owner of this compensation as well as the knas at this point, and therefore, the sons would get it in place of the father. However, lo ispiko lamod bedin ad shemesav, but if in fact the father passed away before the psak din, so then the father never was entitled to this, as Rashi is going to bring down based upon the Gemara that we're going to have later in the Masechta on Daf Mem Gimel 2 days from now. It says ein oda morish livno zuchush sezoch solo Torah bebito, that as opposed to other types of Yerusha, which the father may be able to pass on to his children, even though he hasn't gotten fully the money in his pocket. So let's say there's an IOU that he hadn't collected. So while there are some slightly different dinim in terms of Yerusha, in that the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim for certain things, but the regular Yerusha laws apply here in terms of the entitlements to his daughter, from his daughter, Rachman al-Islam, being seduced or raped. So then, in that situation, they don't belong to the father if the father died before the psak din, and therefore, harehin shal atzma, they belong to the young lady herself, who Nebuch was either seduced or raped. Now, she continues and tells us, omdo badin achlo bagra. The same thing here. If the girl had a psak din done, again, all of this nara situation is only between the years of 12 years and 1 day of her life and 12 years and 6 months of her life. So that's when there is a knas situation according to everybody. Again, we had a machlokas remain the chachamim as to whether there's a knas situation during the days of her katmas, with Rameh saying no and the chachamim saying yes. But here, while she's in Nara, everybody agrees definitely there is a knas. So if she didn't have her psak din, she was nebuch raped when she was greater than 12 years in one day, but before she was 12 years and 6 months, and in that situation, Amda Badin Achilo Bogra, so the Psak Din occurred before she was 12 years and 6 months, while she still was a Nara and not a Bulgaris, so then everything belongs to the father, as we just pointed out. Harein Shel Ha'av. So the father is entitled to all of this, and if the father passes away after the Psak Din, as we just said a moment ago, Meitzav, Harein Shel Achin. The father is considered in that situation to have been the owner of that money, even the Knas, and in that situation, the entire money goes to the father, and if the father's not there, it goes to his Yorshim, in other words, his sons. Obviously, if he has no sons, it would go to his daughter. So, lo yispik olamo b'din ha'shebagra, but if the young lady had never, let's say, been seduced or raped during the time when she was in Nara, she's 12 years and 4 months, and the psak din only occurs when she's 12 years and 7 months, which is after she's a bogeris, in that situation, the father doesn't get it, hare hein shalasma, then she's entitled to it. As we had spoken out previously, it says v'nosan la'vi hanara, only when she is a nara does the father get it. We pointed out previously that one din that said if she was mesa, the knas isn't paid, and likewise, if she's not a nara, the knas is not paid to the father. If the psak din occurs after she's no longer a nara, she's a bulgaris, so then she gets all of the compensation and penalties that she is entitled to because of being an anusa mafuta. It doesn't go to the father, it goes to her. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im lo hispika ligvos ashmesav. He says, you go by whether the money was actually collected or not. This drasha that we said, ein odom orish lugno, zuchus shazoch shalo torah bevito, it goes by the collection. It says, v'nosan lavianara, only at the nesina. So only at the collection is the father entitled to it. And if the father dies before the money is collected, so then harehein shalatzma, even in the situation where the psak din was while she was a nara and while the father was alive, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says it goes to the father's yorshim in that situation, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, it doesn't. It goes to her, because unless there was the nesina during the father's lifetime, then the father and his yorshim aren't entitled to it. Now we turn to Membeis Amud Aleph, where we finish off the Mishnah, which it says, a general statement, Maisi Yadea Umitziyasa, in general, a woman who's in her father's domain, so any handiwork that she has, her Maisi Yadea, if she brings in a certain amount of income, since the father's supporting her, so the Maisi Yadea, her handiwork, anything that she brings in from doing work, she also saw Bechaye Avia, as Rashi points out, that she did in her father's lifetime, is considered already in the father's possession. Likewise, Umitziyasa, anything that she finds belongs to her father, since he's supporting her, so he's entitled to her Maisi Yadea and any findings that she has. So in that situation, Afal Pisha Lo Gavsa, even though, as Rashi points out, Dibra Maska Afal Pisha Lo Gavsa, it wasn't collected yet. Kigon schar pula. So she had worked a week and was entitled to that week's salary for whatever work it was, and the father died before the money was actually given to her. In that situation, afal pi shelo gavsa, even though she hadn't collected it, it is considered as if it belongs to the father. This isn't the knas. It is something that is considered already in the father's domain, and therefore, if meisa av harein shalachin, any money that she has automatically went to her father, even though the father didn't collect it. She hadn't collected it at that point in time, so it's just like an IOU, but that IOU belongs to the father, and if the father dies, it's passed on to his yorshim, which would be any sons that he had, and would not go to her. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Now let's start the Gemara. Gemara tells us, Maiko Mashma, what's the Chiddush of our Mishnah? We just had the entire third parak that pretty much said what our Mishnah said. Why are we repeating it over here? So Gemara says, Tanina, we learned this already in the third parak. We just had this. Hamifata, we said there in the Mishnah, Daf Lamitaz, that if one seduces a woman, so there's three things that he has to pay for. The Boshes and Pagam, and the Knas of the 50 Shkolim. Hamafat and Osin Shloshet Varim, and we said, and the Ones adds on the fourth one, which is the Tsar. Ones Arba'a. Hamafat and Osin Boshes Pagam and Knas, and most of all of Ones, Shinosin and Tsar. That's exactly the first part of our Mishnah. We had that on Daf Lamed Tes. Why did we repeat it again over here? So Gemara says, no, the Chiddush was Lavia, it's Drichlei. The Chiddush over here is that it tells us that it goes to the father. It didn't specify that openly in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes, where it says, no, but we knew that as well. It's obvious that she has to give it to the father, because since it's talking about a woman who was seduced, because it must go to the father, because the Idli Atzma, if you're talking about that it goes to her, why would she be entitled to anything? Am I Yad Mafata? Why should she get anything? She was a willing participant. How can she be entitled to collect anything? It's only her father that's entitled to collect it. Midaita Avad, she did this willingly, so why would she get any compensation, either for damages or for the knas? She was a willing participant. She's not entitled to anything. Oh, her father's entitled to something. So obviously it goes to her father. So again, what is the Chiddush of our Mishnah telling us now in the beginning of the fourth parak? Exactly what it taught us at the end of the third parak in Daf Lamed Tes. So Gemara says, no, there is a big Chiddush over here. Omdu Badin Itzrichle. Our Mishnah added on new details over here, and Plukso, the Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon, which was a Machlokas, is our Mishnah outline between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon as to where, what is the status if the father was alive at the time of the Psak Beis Din, or the father was not alive at the time of the Psak Beis Din. So that is a big chiddush over here in our Mishnah, and that's what our Mishnah is adding on to what we learned on Daf Lamed Tes. Now the Gemara says, Nan Hossam, we learned in the Mishnah in Shavuos, it tells us there, Onasta Upitisu SBT. If the father of the girl goes to the man, and he says to this man, you were a horrible man, Onasta, you assaulted my daughter, you raped her, Upitisu, you seduced my daughter. And what does the man respond? Well, man, no, absolutely not. Chas v'shalom, lo Onasti, lo Upitisu. I did not assault your daughter, I did not go and seduce your daughter. And the father of the daughter says, I want you to swear to me that you didn't do that. Mashbiachani, I demand that you swear to me that you didn't do so. V'yomar amen. And the man essentially said amen, which is the equivalent of saying, yes, I swear that I didn't assault your daughter, I didn't go and seduce your daughter. Again, it's onasta upitisa. As Rashi points out, it doesn't mean that he did both of them. It means onasta upitisa, as Rashi says. The vav sometimes can mean an and sometimes the vav can mean an or. Here it means an or, obviously. So the man, essentially by answering amen, is giving a shvua that he didn't either assault or seduce this woman. And then he had charotoi. He then says, you know what? I really did. I either assaulted her or I seduced her. So now, in addition to his moda me'atzmo, he's now admitting that he did this, but now he also has a false shvua. Now, if a person swears falsely about a financial item, this is gezela. So this would be something which you would be chayav an asham gezela for. Plus, in addition, you have to pay back the principal, and plus you have to add a fifth. So that's what the Gemara says. V'yachar kachode, he's chayev. As Rashi points out, what does he mean, chayev? He's chayev the keren, the amount of the principal that is being stated over here. When the father said, you assaulted or raped my daughter, or you seduced my daughter, so there's a certain penalties that are involved, as we just said. The boshes, pagam, and possibly the tsar in the case of the anusa, as well as the knas. The 50 shkalim. So that's the keren. So you're chayef for the keren over here. Plus you have to add on chomish. Rashi says that's the din of an asham gezela. A person swears falsely, so he has to go and add on to the keren a fifth. It means, again, a fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside. So let's say it's $100. So he has to pay a fifth, which is $25. That's $25 is really a fourth if you count it from 100, but if you count it from the now, the total 125, so it's a fifth. And that's what we always have. A chomish means from the total amount that you're paying, it's a fifth. From the principal, from the keren, it's a fourth. So he has to pay the keren, he has to pay the chomish, and he has to bring an asham gezela. Im hode, achri kein, vizel asham gezelos. This is an asham gezela, as I just mentioned. So therefore, the Mishnah in Shavuos tells us that he's chayv over here to go and pay all of the principal, plus the fifth, plus being an Asham Gezela. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is poter. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, She'enu mishalim knas ha-piyatzvo. The bottom line is that it's included over here a knas. So the knas party wouldn't have to pay. Seemingly, he would have to pay the boshes and begam, or the tsar in the case of the anusa as well, but he wouldn't have to pay the knas because this is a person who's basically admitting that he owes that money. And as we pointed out in yesterday's share, a modeh b'knas is poter based upon the Gemara in Bava Kama. Shein mishalim knas al piatzma. Amr lo lechacham, say back to Rabbi Shimon. No, that's incorrect. Afu pishein mishalim knas al piatzmo. Abu mishalim boshes ubagam al piatzmo. You seem to be saying that he doesn't pay anything by poter. So we could argue and understand you that yes, maybe you could argue that this is a knas that he doesn't have to pay because he's mod al piatzmo. But the damages, the boshes ubagam, and the case of the anusa, also the tsar. So of course he would have to pay that. Why would you argue that he doesn't have to pay that? Afu pishein mishalim knas. Okay. That we could possibly argue about al piatzmo, that because he's moda b'knas, so he doesn't have to pay. Abu b'shalim, boshes u'begam al piatzmo, that Everybody agrees. You also agree that the compensation, if a person admits that I broke your window, so we don't say, well, he's part because he admitted it. No, you have to pay the damages that you caused breaking the window. So here, you'd have to pay the boshes pagan, and the tsar, in the case of the anus, as well. So that's the Mishnah in Shavuos. Gemara now questions. Boy, mine, Abaye me Rabba. So Abaye is Rabba question. Now, Rashi says over here, I'm not sure why Rashi points that out over here. We've had this so many times, both in this Masechta and elsewhere. I'm not sure what made Rashi point this out over here, but he points out that this Rabba is Rabba Bar Nachmeni, the famous Rabba that we have throughout Shas, the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yosef, and the Rabbe Haba, and he was Abaye's Rebbe. So it's very natural that Abaye would ask his Rebbe a kashim. Again, I'm not sure why Rashi pointed that out over here. It's 100% true, of course, but I'm not sure what made Rashi point this out over here. We've had it in this Masechta itself many times already, Abaye asking Rabba or discussing things with Rabba. In any event, Abaye asks Rabba the following question. Ha'omer l'chaveiro, if a man says to another person, just says to his friend, you anasto bitiso esbiti. So the man says to another man, you nebuch either assaulted, you raped, or pitiso, again, the above here is or you seduced my daughter, and we went to Beis Din about this already, v'amaticho badin, and the Beis Din paskin, v'nischayato limamon, and the Beis Din paskin that you owe me the amount of the damages, either the boshes and the pagam, and the anusa plus the tsar, as well as the 50 shkolim knas. Beis Din paskin that you owed me the money. V'hu omer, and the person who the father says either assaulted or seduced his daughter denies this. He says, "Lo anasti, I didn't go and rape your daughter." Or in the case, "Lo pitisi, in the case that we accuse me of seducing your daughter, I didn't seduce your daughter." And everything that you just said about us going to the Beis Din, the Beis Din paskening against me, never happened. "Lo maratani badin, we never went to such a Beis Din about this." "Lo nischayavti luchamamon, and the Beis Din never paskened that I owed you any money." And the father of the girl says, "What are you talking about? The nishba, I want you to swear to me." And he swore to him, v'hoda, but then subsequently he admitted that, in fact, all of this occurred exactly as the father said. He had charota, and he said, "Listen, I swore falsely, and I admit that I owe you the money." So in this situation, what is the halacha? Now, obviously, the chachamim would say that, of course, you have to pay. So we're asking, the Rabbi Shimon, what would be the halacha according to Rabbi Shimon? Previously, Rabbi Shimon had said that in the case of a knas, so you don't have to pay it. But here, this is more than a knas. This is now a IOU, basically, that Beis Din said. So Beis Din originally said it was a knas, but now it's mamon that this person who seduced or assaulted the man's daughter is mechuyev to pay to the man, based in paskin this. So do we now view this as no longer being a knas, but we view this as an IOU from the Beis Din at Kivan, the Amad Badin, mamona habi, the entire amount is considered mamon. It's no longer a knas plus damages. The entire amount is considered mamona. The entire amount is considered, he owes him now $1,000. That's the total sum of the 50 shkalim and the boshes and the pagam, or in the case of the anusa, also the tsar. So this was paskin by Beis Din. This is the amount that you owe. It's $1,000, a combination of all of those things. And therefore, Amad Badin, mamona habi, since based on possibly it's all considered mamona now, none of it's considered knas anymore, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon, Mechayev Alei Karban Shvuah, because as the Mishnah in Shvuah said, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Shimon, you should at least admit to us the din in regards to the compensation damages, because those are something that even if you're mulled about, you have to pay. So now, this whole thing is considered as if it was mamona, as if it's considered a IOU that the Beis Din said that you owe, and therefore, even though you're now being moda in it, you admit that you swore falsely, so you should have to pay for everything. And you have to pay the principal, the entire principal, the chomesh, and plus you have to bring an Hashem Gizela. Or do we say, this is the question that's being asked from Abaye to Rabba, or do we say, no, Odoma, even in this situation, I forgot the Omer Bedin, even though it was possible by Beis Din, the bottom line is that it's not just a straight IOU, the $1,000 that Beis Din says this person who seduced or assaulted the daughter of the man has to go pay the man, but no, this includes a knas have, and therefore he doesn't have to pay that part that's the knas. So that's the question of Abaye asked Rabba, and Rabba's response, and he says, Amalei, mamona have, we view the whole thing as being an IOU, so to say. Beis Din says, you now owe him $1,000, Umachayev Alei Karbon Shvuah, and he has to go pay the principal back, he has to pay the Chomish back, and he has to bring an Hashem Gizela on the entire amount. So that's what Rabba tells Abaye. Abaye is not happy with this. Abaye says, wait a second. We have the following brisa that seems to contradict what you just said. The brisa says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yochol, I might have thought, Ha Omer L'chaveru, if a man says to his fellow man that you, Anasta, you either raped Rachman L'Islan, his daughter, or Upitiso, he says that you seduced my daughter as Biti, and then the person who was accused of being the rapist or the seducer says, Ho Omer Lo Anasi Lo Pitisi, he says, no, I did not do that. Or, the Brisa continues, if Reuven accuses Shimon, he missed Shorcho Es Abdi. Reuven says to Shimon, your ox killed my slave, and you're mechuyev to pay me the 30 shkolim that the Torah demands in that situation. And Shimon says, no, absolutely not. Lo miss. Absolutely not. My ox did not go and kill your slave. Or, third scenario, Osho Amar Lo Abdo, or a person's servant, his Eved Kenani, says to him, he palto es shini, or visimiso es eini. Again, the vav here is an or. So this is what's called shein v'ayin. And if an Eved Kenani has either his tooth knocked out or his eye knocked out by the master, so then that's the din of shein v'ayin, and the Eved goes free. So the Eved is saying to the master, listen, you knocked out my tooth, or you knocked out my eye, and I'm entitled to go free. And the master denies it. Lohi palti, I absolutely did not knock out your tooth. Lohi misi, nor did I blind you, did I knock out your eye? And in all of these scenarios, in the first case of the father accusing the man of either being a ma'anis or mafate, or in the case where Reuven is accusing Shimon of Shimon's ox goring Reuven's slave and killing him, or the case where the Eved says to his master, you knocked out my tooth or my eye. In all of these cases, the person who's being accused, Nishba, he swears that it didn't happen. And then he had Charata, Vahoda, and he admitted that it did happen. In all of these situations, this Brisa says, Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, I might have thought, Yochol, you might have thought, Huyechayev, that he should have to pay in all of these situations because he's Moda in this situation on the amount. And therefore, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, no, there is no din over here of Asham Gizela, because the Pasuk tells us only if you have a situation of Kichesh where he swore falsely and then he changed his mind and he admitted, only the Kichesh Ba'amiso, only in the case where he denies originally, he swears against the claim made against him and then he admits afterwards, only in the case of Bipikodon, where let's say Reuven deposited something with Shimon, or Besumas Yod, or Reuven lent Shimon money, or Begozel, or Shimon stole money from Reuven, or Oshak Es Amiso, or he didn't pay him for the work that he was supposed to do, or Motzo Aveda, or he denied that he found the Aveda that Reuven had lost, in all of these situations, but only in these situations, the Kichesh Ba, if he denied it, he originally swore that it wasn't true, the Nishbal Sheker, and he swore falsely, only in those situations, if he then is molded afterwards, he has to go and bring this Asham Gizela, meaning pay the Keren, the Chomish, and to bring the Asham Gizela. So Ma Elu Miyuchodim Shein Mamot, every one of these situations, the depositing of the Pikodon, the lending of the money, the stealing of the money, the withholding of the payment of the wages, or the denying the Aveda that he found of him, every one of these is absolutely not a knas. There's no penalties over here. These are all mamon. So in all of these situations, they're called mamon. So only in situations where there's the denial of mamon, I've called Shehein mamon, only in cases where there's a denial of a mamon, of a compensation for damages, as opposed to yotzu elushim knas, as opposed to knas, which is not included in this din of the chichesh es amiso, is not included in the din of asham gezela. So this brisa clearly says that Rabbi Shimon argues with what Rabba seems to say. Rabba said that the compensation, including a knas, is something that he has to pay. Mamon hebe umechayev le korban shvuah. That's what Rabbi had said, and Abaye says, but look at this. Brisa that Rabbi Shimon clearly states that only for mamon and not for knas. And now we turn to Membeis of an Aleph. He gets to the kicker of the question. Here's what Abaye says to Rabba. My love, isn't this brisa talking about Bishama Bedin? We're based in Paskindit. And even though based in Paskindit, we don't call it mamona, it's still called knas. So this is a kasha on what you answered, Rabba. So Rabba says, no, absolutely not. Lo, that's wrong. Bishlo Amabedin. The brisa is talking about where there was no psak din. So this is all prior to the psak din. So then this is actually a standard case of knas. The Keren and the Chomesh and the Asham Gezela is all a case of knas. So therefore, it is not something that Rabbi Shimon says you have to pay. This is an example of moda biknas. Now, Abai says, no, I disagree with you, Rabbah. Very respectfully, he tells back to Rabbah, v'ha midereisha, the beginning of this brisa is talking about bishama b'din, as we'll see in a moment. So the seif of the brisa, which is what we just read, nami bishama b'din, also is talking about where the din was paskind. Now, where do we see that the reisha is talking about bishama b'din? Because the k'toni reisha, the beginning of this brisa, we just picked up the brisa at the bottom of Membeza and Aleph. We just said Rabbi Shimon Omer. That's the middle of the brisa. But look at the first part of the brisa. The k'toni reisha, the reisha said, Ainli elo devarim shemishalmim aleim es akeren. The pasuk tells us, so we said there were all examples of mammon, the deposit, the loan, etc. All those things that we said, they're all mammon. And in that situation, you have to pay the keren and the chomesh and the asham gezela. But then it says, tashlume kefel, tashlume arba v'chamisha, v'ones v'amafat, motzi shem raminayin. Now, these are all examples of a knas. Tashlume kefel is not a compensation for the damages. The damages is the keren. So when I steal something, Rahman al-Islam, from somebody else, so then the principle is the compensation for what I stole, and then the Torah says in that situation there's a punishment of kefil that you have to pay another time, you have to pay twice. And likewise, if a person were to steal an animal from somebody else, and it's a goat or a sheep, and then he shechts it or sells it, or it's an ox, and he shechts it or sells it, then you have to pay the arba v'chamisha. That's not a compensation, that's a knas. And va'onis imafata, the 50 shkalim, that's a knas. Motzi shemra, rachman al-san, the husband declares that his wife wasn't a basula, and then he's proven to be wrong, so he has to pay 100 shekel. So all of these situations, minayin, that the penalty of asham gezela applies to these as well. So the Tanakhama clearly holds over here Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says Umo'alo Ma'al. In other words, it says Mo'alo Ma'al twice, so it's a double lashon Riba, which means that you have to pay both in the case of Mamon and in the case of Knas. Now, what is this Reisha talking about? Is it a Omei Bedin or not Omei Bedin? So Hechidami, what are we talking about here? If you're going to tell me either lo or my bedin, if you tell me the ratio here, it wasn't paskin by the basin, so then kreila miika, how could there possibly be a penalty if basin didn't paskin the case? So then there can't be a penalty of tashlume kefil or tashlume abor v'chamisha. So obviously, elapshita bisho amad bedin. If we're dealing over here with the penalties, so only the penalties only occur when basin paskins it. So therefore, the ratio is clearly talking about bisho amad bedin. Omi the reisha bisho amad bedin. So then clearly, sefer nami bisho amad bedin. It's one brisa, so we assume the circumstances, unless it specifies otherwise, are the same. So if the reisha we just said is talking about definitely bisham abedin, so then the sefer Rabbi Shimon Omer is also talking about bisham abedin, and therefore, if you're telling me the sefer is Rabbi Shimon says that you don't pay the knas, so then that is my kasha. Abai says, "And you, Rabba, how can you say that if the based in paskins, we view the whole thing as one IOU, as one amount that the based in declare that he owes, including the knas, and that you have to pay it? That's your opinion, Rabba, but this brisa clearly says that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with your opinion." So what does Rabbi say to that? So Amalei, Rabbi says back to Abaye, Yochilna l'shanirloch. I could give you a doichak teretz, which we'll see in a moment why he calls it a doichak teretz. I could answer you and say, Reisha b'sham abedin, v'sey b'shal abedin. I could answer that, who says that they have to be exactly the same scenarios? I could answer you that the Reisha is talking about b'sham abedin, as you clearly pointed out, because it says tashlume kefo arba v'chamisha, so that can only be after p'sak din. So I agree with you, the Reisha of this price is definitely talking about b'sham abedin, but I could tell you that the Seifa is b'shalom abedin. The Seifa, what we said, Rabbi Shimon Omer, is talking about where it wasn't Amar Bedin, and therefore I'm not incorrect, because I agree that if Shalom Abedin, that you don't pay because Modeh Miknas is Potter. But if Basin Paskin did, then even Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbah, would say that in this situation of your Modeh on an IOU, your Modeh on all an amount that is owed to you, and it's not a Knas anymore. I could state that that still is in accord with my Shita, because the Sefer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, is talking about Bishlo Amar Bedin. However, I'm not going to give you that answer. I'm not going to tell you that the Reish is talking about Bishalom Abedin and the Sefer is talking about Shalom Abedin, because I agree, Bishinuya Dechike, this is a Dochak type of explanation. Lo Mishanin Loch, I'm not going to go and give you such a Dochak Teretz. It's not right. Because the MK, because if I would give you such a Teretz, Amar Toli, you would say back to me, so if that is the case, then it's all Rabbi Shimon. I realized I skipped the words that he responded. I can give you this dochak teres reisha b'shama b'din v'seva b'shlo am b'din v'kula Rabbi Shimoni, and this is all Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and it's just talking about two different scenarios. The first part is talking about b'shama b'din, where Rabbi Shimon is exactly saying what I'm saying, Rabbi says, and the sefer is b'shlo am b'din. So again, Rabbi Shimon is not going against what I'm saying. So this v'shinui d'chik alum shanin loch, I'm not going to give you, because the imkain amrisli, you would say back to me, listne reisha Rabbi Shimon Omer, or listne sefer divrei Rabbi Shimon. Then why did we say in the middle Rabbi Shimon Omer? At the start of the sefer, we say Rabbi Shimon Omer. That's not the right way. It's a dochak teretz. He should have said either at the beginning that Rabbi Shimon Omer at the very beginning of the brisa, and start off the brisa with Shimon Omer, or end off the brisa at the end and say these are the words divrei Rabbi Shimon. Why would it say it in the middle? So therefore, this is a very dochak teretz, and you would point out why it was a dochak teretz, and therefore, I'm not going to give you that dochak teretz. And instead, I'm going to explain the brayis as follows. Elo, the brayis is kula shama b'din. You're 100% right. Just like the reish is talking about b'shama b'din, so too is the sefer talking about b'shama b'din. However, the reish of the rabbanon's opinion, the sefer Rabbi Shimon's opinion. So Rabba says the Reisha, that was the opinion of the Chachamim, the Rabbanon, and the Sefer is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And what Rabbi Shimon is saying in the Sefer is, Umodin aloch l'inyon korban shvua, in regards to the Asham Gezela aspect, the korban shvua, the Rachmana Patre, the Torah says in that situation, you don't bring an Asham Gezela. The Kichesh, the Pasuk says, only in the circumstance where the original obligation was based upon Mammon, then in that situation, does Rabbi Shimon say that you don't bring a korban shvua? However, the ki karmina mamon have, however, in regards to the din of mamon, that's lo risho levonav. I'm not talking about do you or do you not have to pay. In that situation, I agree. Modina, I'm admitting that Rabbi Shimon says you don't pay in that situation in regards to the din of Asham Gizela. There is no penalty situation over here because it originally came from a penalty. So we don't make him pay in that situation. However, in regards to, does he have the ability to be morish to his children? So in that situation, we treat it as if it's money in his pocket already. And as opposed to in our Mishnah, for example, we said, Rabbi Shimon's opinion was, in lo amar b'din, we don't allow the father to be morish to his son. Here, we do allow the father to be morish to his son. So it's only in this din of morish levno, Rabbi Shimon says that it goes to his son. So when I said that Rabbi Shimon considers it to be mamonahu, that's in regards to the din of being morish to his son. But I admit and I agree that in regards to the knas, Rabbi Shimon is consistent throughout and says, no, we wouldn't make him pay the chomesh and bring an asham gezela in this situation because it originated from a knas and not from mamon. And Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that only when it originates from mamon is there a din of asham gezela and to pay the keren and the chomesh and the asham gezela. And we were in agreement on that. You're 100% right, Rabbi says to Abaye. But in regards to being morish livno, that's where I said that Rabbi Shimon also agrees that it's considered mamon in that situation and not knas. Knas, you're not morish livno, but mamon, you are morish livno. Abaye is still not happy. Esvei, Abaye says as follows. Abaye asked to Rabbi the following shalom. We said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, im lo hispiko ligbos at shimei saw. We said that if the din Torah was not decided, and then the father died before the din Torah was decided, so then the father is not entitled to the knas, he's not morish to his children, and harizeh shel atzma, harihin shel atzma, the knas as well as all the monetary benefits belong to her. Now, the amris mamon heve, if you're telling me that it's considered mamon, so then how come he isn't entitled to it, and lohorisho levonav, he should be able to give it to his children. You just said that the teretz is that in regards to money, he is able to be morishit to his children, it's considered money in that respect. Okay, granted, in terms of the asham gizela, it's not considered money, it's considered originated from a knas, and he's not entitled to go and give it to his children, but the money he is entitled to give to his children. And therefore, how can you tell me that it's li'atzmo amai, the achim boy mehevi? It should belong to the sons of the man, and they should ask for it. The achim boy mehevi, it should belong to the brothers. And therefore, how come, Rabba, you're saying that in regards to the Arusha, we do give it over to the sons? It goes against our Mishnah. So here, Rava answers, not Rabba. Omar Rava. Rava says, hi, milsa, koshe bar Rabba. V'Rav Yosef Esrin V'Tartin Shnin. This was a major question that was unanswered for the 22 years that Rabbah was the head of the yeshiva, and only upon Rabbah's death was Rav Yosef, who then became the Rosh Yeshiva, was he able to answer it. Now, it's interesting that Rabbah and Rav Yosef are famous Bali Plukta throughout the Shas, and Rav Yosef said, let Rabbah be the Rosh Yeshiva first, because he had a Kabbalah that he would outlive Rabbah, and therefore he let Rabbah be the Rosh Yeshiva, and he lived for an extra 22 years because he was so kind and generous and allowed Rabbah to be the Rosh Yeshiva first. So, in any event, for the 22 years that Rabbah was the Rosh Yeshiva, they couldn't answer this question. However, once Rav Yosef became the head of the yeshiva after Rabbah's death, Ad Yosef Rav Yosef Bereisha Upirka. Once he was the Rosh Yeshiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Siyata Dishmaya, and he was able to answer this very strong question that Abaye had asked on Rabbah. Rashi points out in Dibra Masla, Esven Tachin Shnin, Heino Yumei Shiroso Shel Rabbah. These were the 22 years that I said that Rabbah was the Tsar. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael and the head of the yeshiva. Umeis, and when he subsequently died, then Rabbi Yosef Yosha Birosh, V'siyo Min HaShemayim. They gave him a special siyata d'shmaya leparka lios lo l'shem. In order to publicize the greatness of Rabbi Yosef, he was able to now answer the question. Now, this is a famous discussion that we had about who Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef were. Let me show you Rabbah Charif. Rabbah was known as the very sharp one. He was the Charif one. And therefore, he was known as L'kach Karu Oker Harb. He was one that uprooted the mountains. With his sharpness, he was able to go and uproot mountains. Rabbi Yosef had a tremendous bekiyas. Haya Baal Shmos or Mishno Braisa. He knew an encyclopedic knowledge, but he wasn't considered in the same way that Rabbah was Harif. And therefore, he was known as Sinai. He was the one that, so to say, amassed all of the Torah that was given over at Har Sinai, but he wasn't considered as sharp as Rabbah. Rabbah was the sharp one, albeit maybe he didn't have such comprehensive knowledge of all of the Torah, whereas Rav Yosef had this comprehensive knowledge of all the Torah, and encyclopedic nature, but he wasn't considered as sharp. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Siyata Dishmaya, the people shouldn't think for a second that Rav Yosef wasn't also extremely sharp, and Rav Yosef was able to answer this question that hadn't been answered for 22 years while Rabbah was the head of the Beis Medrash. And any of that knew what was the answer? So, shiny hossam. In this case, it's different, because the Pasuk says, the Omar Kra, it says, V'nosa na'ish ha'shochev ima. It's only when it's v'nasa no'ish ha'shochev imo, when the man who Nebuch slept with the father's daughter, when he gave over the money, that's when it becomes the father's. And until then, it's not considered given over to the father, even though it's considered mamon, as Rabbah just taught us. The chikama Rabbah mamona have l'risha l'bonav bishar kinosos. And when Rabbah says that yes, this is considered the father's possession, but that's all for the other kinosos, but not for this kinos, because you have a specific pasuk that says, "Nasan hiish la'avi hanara." Nasan hiish shochevimo la'avi hanara. It's only when it's given over to the anira avi hanara, the chamishim kosef, that is considered in the father's possession. All other kinosim are already considered in the father's possession once the basin paskins it, and that's what Rabbah was telling us. And this is the exception that proves the rule. Mor says, "No elamiato gabi evit." So then, in regards to the case of the evit, when you're supposed to give, if you're muad, ox gored and killed an eved, the pasuk says kesef shloshim shkolim yitain la'adonav. In that case, it also uses the lashon yitain la'adonav. So you're telling me in that case that it's not considered the possession of the father once basin paskins it. It also is only considered the possession of the father l'horish l'bonav when it gets into his possession. Hachanami lo zichsa torah liadon ela mishas nesina. Is that really true? That's not the din. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference between the nosan ha'ish ha'shochev imo alav yanara, the word the nosan, and there's a difference between the words, Kesef Shloshim Shkolim, yitain la'adonav. So yitain is l'chud, the nosan l'chud. They both mean different things. The nosan means it has to actually be given over into his possession. Yitain means he shall give over. It doesn't mean that it has to come into his possession. So we make this distinction between the two words. Or says, if that's true, ihachi, that you're telling me the word v'nosan means it has to come into the actual father's possession in order for him to be morishit to his children, so then, Talmud Omer v'kichesh, you just gave us the drasha before that said this is learned out from the word v'kichesh. That's not where we learned it out from. We learned it out from v'nosan. Talmud Omer v'nosan miboyle. He should have answered in the Braisa. The Rebbe Shimon says the reason is because, not because of v'kichesh, it's because v'nosan miboyle. Why did he give the answer v'kichesh? Very strange. So again, Rava responds and answers. Omer Rava. Rava says, "Ki yitzur v'kichesh." We do need both drashas over here. We need v'nosan as we just explained, but we also need v'kichesh. Why do we need v'kichesh? Kigon she'omda b'din u'bagra u'mesa. That you need to teach us a din where the din was paskind, and then subsequently she came a bugaris, and then she died. In that situation, the hasam Ki koyoris avia mina dida koyoris. So the father gets it because he's inheriting his daughter, not because he's entitled to it. If the daughter didn't die and she was a bogeres, so she would get it. That's what Rishimon says. But when she dies, so then who is her inheritor? Her father's her inheritor. She didn't have children. So therefore, her father inherits her, and the father gets it via Yerusha. And that's what we need V'kichesh to tell us, that he doesn't get it because he's entitled to it. He only gets it because Nebuch, his daughter, died, and he gets it as Yerusha. So Yatsu Elu Shein Knas Mamano. So then why are you telling me in the Braisa that these are Knas and not Knas? It's Mamon. This is a regular Yerusha. So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok. So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok explains, no. What he means to say over here is Yatsu Elu Sheikarin Knas. That these are included because they originated, they started Meikara. They were initially, they were Knas, and that's why they're excluded, as we pointed out previously. Now the Gemara says another question. Really, does Rab Shimon really say that once based in Paskind that a Knas was owed, that the person who would be Moda on such a Knas would not be chayv to pay an Asham Gezela? Is that really true? Eisvei, we learned in that Mishnah in Shavuos that we said before, Rabbi Shimon is poter, Shein Mishalim Knas al piyatzmo. So Rabbi Shimon had said the reason why he doesn't pay is because he's Moda Knas about himself. So Taima Delo Amad Bedin, that implied that he wasn't Amad Bedin. Implication being, Ha Amad Bedin, the Mishalim al piyatzmo, then he would certainly have to go and pay. Once the Beis Din said that he owed the money, even Rabbi Shimon would say that he had to go pay the money. So why wouldn't in that situation, why are you making a distinction to say, yes, if the Beis Din paskid, and then afterwards he admits that the Beis Din paskid that way, he would have to pay that money, so why wouldn't he also pay an Asher Gizela in that situation if he swore falsely? So Gemara says, no. Rabbi Shimon, in that situation, wasn't giving his own psak din. He was saying, according to you, Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, l'divrei the Rabbanim kamalu. He was saying, according to you, Chachamim, hold, not like me, I hold the didi, I forgot the Amad Badin, even though the Beis Din Paskid did, Rachbona Patri mi v'kichesh. I say the words v'kichesh say that you don't go bring an Asham Gezela, even if you swore about it and Beis Din had Paskid it. So that's my opinion. I got no problems. El didchu, but according to you, who hold that you don't darshan v'kichesh in that way, and you would say that you chayv an Asham Gezela, so be molded to me, odeli, at least, mias, at least be mowed in a case where the Beis Din did not paskin it, the chi kotova, when the father is saying to the man that you were ma'anes or mafata, my daughter, and in that situation, the father is saying, you therefore owe me the 50 shkolim, konsa kotova, the father is asking for the knas, so at least be mowed to me, and we turn to Megimel Amad Aleph. That in that situation, mowed the knas should be potter, at least admit to be in that situation, you're potter. No, what did the chacham say to that? You know, because the Rabbanan Sabri, no, ki kotova, they're saying that he's asking for the boshes of the Bakam, kotova. He's not asking for the knas. And therefore, there is no problem, according to Chachamim. So Gemara says, so what's the bottom line? But my conflict, what are Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim argue about? So Rapapa explains as follows. Omer Rapapa, Rabbi Shimon sovar lo shavik inish mide de kitz. A man would not give up a set amount of money, such as the 50 shkolim, to take the chance to vetova mide de lo kitz, to go and ask for the boshes of begam, which is not something that has a set amount to it, and he wouldn't give up asking for the 50. That's why he's focusing on the 50, and that's why Rabbi Shimon says, no, he's not entitled to that, because that's knas. Whereas the Rabbanan hold otherwise. Rabbanan savvy the exact opposite. Lo shavik inish mide the chimodi be lo misptar. They person would not go and give up something for which if the other person was molded to, he would still have to pay it. Whereas the knas, the tova midi, if he were to go and be tovea the knas, if the person were to be molded, the chimodi be miftar, molded be knas is potter. So the person wouldn't go and be forcing the din Torah on the knas. He would be forcing it on, according to the Chachamim, the Boshes and the Pagam. And that, certainly, he would have the right to be Toveya. So that's how the Chachamim are responding to Rabbi Shimon, and that's the proper understanding of this Machlokes. And with this, we conclude today's Shir.